Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
That is on.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike said, Walker.
And we're off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking preseason NFL. Two games last night, Pittsburgh over the Philadelphia Eagles 24-16. New England gets the victory over the Washington football team 22-13. Three more games on tap tonight. We'll get into those along with some week one lines, some futures bets. George, when you look at the preseason as a whole, we look at the quarterback development, we look at the quarterback to wide receiver relationship, how does that develop early on, and when we see some quarterbacks miss camp, do you feel that they can just get by without playing consistent in these preseason games?
It's a tough question, all right? You don't want to get anybody hurt in preseason, so I understand it, why you want to protect the quarterbacks. But I like to see my quarterback get in there for at least a couple of series, get them used to some game action. Practice is one thing, game action is completely different. So I would like to see totally the quarterback agree. Get in there. It's always so much you could simulate in practice. It's just not the same. I don't care how much you take practice seriously, the adrenaline's not flowing the same. It's just not. Practice is important, but game situation is as well. So I wish they would get in there. So I think there's a little bit of a detriment, a little bit. Now, do I care about... Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams? No. All right, they've been together forever, so I'm not worried about that. But younger quarterbacks with receivers they haven't been together with as much, or not at all, rookie wide receivers, that bothers me much more.
What about offensive line play in terms of as it relates to not only pass blocking but the running attack, right? We saw Mike Tomlin in terms of that patchwork offensive line a week ago with Dallas where he wanted to get that line work, right? That's a key attribute of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. They need to run the football consistently, and they looked pretty good last night in terms of early on. Mason Rudolph did complete 8 of 9 passes early on, but it was Dwayne Haskins that came on and lit the world on fire in the second half. But the offensive line was a key component to that, right? They looked like they started to build some consistency. The rushing attack got some yards. And if they can do that throughout the preseason, this might be a team that starting week one, or at least in the month of September, could hit the ground running and hitting on all cylinders.
You know, it's funny. I probably worry more about my offensive lineman getting hurt in preseason than I do the quarterback. Also, your quarterback's not going to get hit, or it's not going to hit bad. The offensive line, you always have bodies falling at your feet, right? I mean, you just one awkward landing from an ACL tear, ankle sprain, you know, stuff like that keeps you out for a long time here. But that being said, once again, we always hear that an offensive line, you know, gets better as they play together more and more and more. Sometimes it takes years, you know, that cohesive unit to know what the guy next to you is going to do automatically, to be able to trust him that he's going to pick up the stunt, you know, or the blitz, whatever they're doing here. So that's important as well. It's a delicate balance. There's no doubt it's a delicate balance for the head coach. Right? How much the quarterback should play, how much the offensive lineman should play, how about the running back, how many hits should he take? You know, that sort of thing. So it's a delicate balance. But I think offensive lines, for the most part, you have to play. And I'll tell you one thing. If the starting quarterback plays, the starting offensive line plays. I don't want it. You know, there's no way I'm having the backups in there, my quarterback in there. And this includes, by the way, for all these rookie quarterbacks, the ones who may not start, the Mac Joneses of the world, you know, Justin Fields, who they say is not, you know, he may not. But if they're in there, so is the starting offensive line.
Oh, it has to be. Has to be. And when you look at last night's performance as a whole, I mean, Pittsburgh pounded the rock for 152, 3.6 yards per carry. But they're going to need that. They're going to need that type of element in the first half of the season. Their schedule's not easy. When you know about the injury concerns surrounding Ben, assuming that he's 100% healthy, there's no guarantee that he's going to hold up for a 17-game season. And when you just look at Pittsburgh's inability to run the football consistently, especially in the second half of the season, right? It started last year on the road in Buffalo. The rushing attack fell off. I believe they only rushed over the last 8 or 10 games of the season for 546 total yards. That wasn't the MO of Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers when they made those Super Bowl runs. They want to probably get back to that. And when you look at the health of Ben Roethlisberger, and more importantly, the total in terms of 9.5 for 2021 on FanDuel, they're going to need that to get over that total. Would you agree with that? That if the running game isn't there, it's going to be very difficult for this team to surpass 10 wins this season.
Yeah, because, you know, you become one-dimensional, you become easier for the defense. I mean, that one-dimensional could be fantastic, but still, it's easier for the defense. When you have, I don't think you need to have a great running game, just the threat of it, so that the safeties have to creep up a little bit. You know, so they have to, the defense has to respect the run, game plan for the run during the week. If you can't run at all, they don't care. All they're doing is, spending hours after hours on game tape, and just stop the pass. And that may be true nowadays for most teams anyway, where the running game is sort of a secondary thing. But yes, I think you need somewhat of a running game to truly get over that 10 games.
Yeah, without a doubt. We'll see if Big Ben and the crew could do that in 2021. When we come back, we'll be talking about New England, Washington, and Philly. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Football Full Circle, breaking down all the preseason action from last night, talking about the teams, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. We talked about Pittsburgh a little bit in depth. I just want to get your thoughts about the way Dwayne Haskins looked last night, because I got to be honest with you, George, he did step up, made some nice plays, connected on a touchdown pass, and when you just look at his progression heading into 2021, he's definitely a competent backup for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and more importantly, if he is called on to win games, I think he could pull games out. I mean, the knock on Dwayne Haskins was that he didn't understand the system. He was raw. He was inconsistent. Well, I'll tell you what. Last night, 16 of 22, 161 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. Looks pretty good to me entering game number three of the NFL preseason right now.
He looked very good. He looked very good. I'm going to say he looked very good last night. And this is important because the Steelers are going to have to figure out what they're going to do about, you know, life after Ben. You know, they did sign him. They redid the contract for this year, but that's pretty much a one-to-one thing. And listen, if Ben has a great year and he wants to play again, I'm sure they'll work it out again. But what if Ben becomes noodle arm at the end of the year again? That was the big problem.
I think that's going to happen. I do. I'm banking on that for this season. I'm under their win total. I don't think his body's going to hold up with the elbow and just what I saw last year. So that's what I'm banking on. But I said it before. I thought Mason Rudolph is a competent backup. He can come in. He can win some games for you. He played well again last night. He looked good in game number one against Dallas. People might argue that. But I guess the bigger question about Dwayne Haskins is this. Did this kid really get a chance? Did he really get a chance to develop in Washington? Or did they just want to run him out of town because they just didn't like his work ethic? That's the biggest thing for me.
Well, his work ethic, he was immature. Do I think he got a raw deal? I don't know if I go that far. I do know that, Rivera gave him the ultimatum. He had to have a good game. It's funny. I love when coaches do this, by the way. He gave him the ultimatum that he had to have a good game. And the game that was coming up that he was starting was against the Ravens, one of the best defenses in football. And he had a good game. Yeah, I think he threw a couple of picks in the game, but he had a good, solid game statistically-wise, yet they still benched him. So I'll let you know they were going to bench him no matter what. That's what they wanted. The team wanted to do. You know, when I say that, it's kind of funny. I think Rivera did that on purpose. He didn't expect Haskins to have a good game versus the Ravens.
See, but that's the problem. That's the problem. That's a big problem. Like, I think when we look at the quarterbacks that just get regurgitated in the league, guys, and I named them, Joe Webb, I mean, that is in the league 13 years as the third-string backup. I mean, Kyle Laletta, that was there from Richmond, that got drafted by the fourth round by the New York Giants because he lit the Senior Bowl on fire. I mean, come on. I mean, these guys are given opportunities. Dwayne Haskins put up 50 touchdown passes his last season in Columbus with Ryan Day. You're telling me that kid doesn't have more upside than some of these garbage quarterbacks that are in the NFL?
No, I'm not. Listen, I would agree. I think some quarterbacks get more chances than others for whatever reason we don't know. I mean, watching the CFL last night, Mike Riley, and people going, how is this guy not in the NFL? Isn't he better than some of the backups that are on there now? Probably is. Probably is. But for whatever reason, teams don't give him a chance. I think with Haskins, it came down to Rivera didn't draft him. And he wasn't his kind of quarterback. And I'm sure there were some personality issues as well. And I'm sure Haskins did do some stuff he shouldn't have done. You know, immature. I think it was really what his problem was there. And they moved on. Do I think they made the right decision? We'll see. You know, but that was, remember, that was a Daniel Snyder pick. You know, even the GM at the time didn't want him either. But Snyder wanted him. So they took him. You know, and I think it was stacked against him from the beginning because nobody wanted him but the owner. So I think that was all sorts of problems there. And Rivera pretty much has control of the organization. He didn't want him either. They moved on here. But for Pittsburgh, right, they need to find out, can he be a starting quarterback? Can he be the guy that Washington thought, well, I guess Snyder thought they were going to get? Right. Yeah, can he be a franchise guy to take over for Ben? Rudolph's nothing, right? Rudolph's not going to be a starting quarterback. He'll be a backup forever if he plays that long. Haskins still has the possibility of being that guy if Pittsburgh can get it out of him.
I think they can. I think they can. I think in 2 or 3 years, give him more development. He could be a potential starter in the league. We'll see how it plays out with Mike Tomlin and the crew. Let's look at the Eagles. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a guy they drafted, right? His second round, came from Oklahoma by way of Alabama. Played well, you could say, towards the end of last year. And now he's supposed to be the guy. But new head coach Nick Sirianni hasn't given him that vote of confidence yet. We look at his first preseason game, 3-7, 54 yards. This is a total for Philadelphia this year on FanDuel. That's set at 6.5 wins. And it's heavily juiced to the over at minus 150. I don't know if the Eagles are getting there with Jalen Hurts or without him. I mean, I think this is one of the worst teams in the NFC. I don't like their defense. You saw the defense give away last night to a more physical offensive line, especially in run support. But the bigger question is this. They give Joe Flacco, more attempts, more odds to work with those wide receivers, right? He completes 10 of 17 for 178 yards. Don't tell me the coaching staff is buying into Joe Flacco as a potential starter for this team in week one.
All right, so this is depending on how you want to look at this. All right, the fact that Flacco played so much. Is it because, okay, Hurts is the starter, so he doesn't play much. You know, they're protecting him. That's why he only threw seven attempts. He was 3 of 7, 54 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Is that why? It was just for that. Are they trying to showcase Flacco? You know, maybe we trade him to somebody for anything. You know, to teams that need a back.
What would you get? What would you get for Joe Flacco right here?
Watching
him play in New York, you might get a bag of potatoes and maybe a garbage bag. Are you kidding me?
Maybe they like potatoes. Maybe they like potatoes. If you're trying to, Urban Meyer's trying to tell us that Gardner Minshew might start over Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but Gardner Minshew's a young, up-and-coming quarterback. The kid's hungry.
He's the young,
upcoming quarterback.
Forget about Gardner Minshew. Did Gardner Minshew pay you? I mean, really, you think he's that good? No, Minshew's not going to start for Jacksonville, and Flacco's not starting in Philadelphia. I think they're protecting Hurts here and maybe somewhat showcasing Flacco to see if anybody will give them anything him when they can ride with Hurts and Mullins.
I got that. If that's the way they played it, fine. But Jalen Hurts is still a raw quarterback. You only give him seven pass attempts? I mean, Jalen Reagor's in that offense. Devontae Smith is out. He needs to work with those wide receivers. He needs to get more acclimated with the offensive philosophy. Let's not forget, it was Doug Peterson's team last year. You have a new head coach with a new offensive coordinator, new moving parts, and a quarterback that's basically only played four games in 2020. So how could you give him or afford to give him time off when he needs time to develop as a starting quarterback? Seven pass attempts are not going to get it done if this team is going to make a run at a division title, George. That's the problem I have with Sirianni, if that's what he's saying. Because he didn't give the vote of confidence to Jalen Hurts. He's got to work for it. Well, at least give the kid a half. I mean, it's not like the offensive line is that banged up where you can't afford to put Jalen Hurts in there for a couple of quarters to develop with his wide receivers.
I'm on board with it. I think he should have played more. I certainly do. That being said, all right, we'll see what he plays in week two here before I start to panic. But anybody who thinks, I mean, Hurts has to play this year because the Eagles need to find out. They absolutely need to find out if he's their franchise quarterback. If he is, hey, great. All problem solved. You can spend all those number one picks next year to solidify other areas of the team. But if not, then you need to take a quarterback next year, and you may need to trade up to get one. You think they're one of the worst teams? I don't know if I'm going to say that, but they're a top 10 pick next year, more than likely. I think they could compete in the NFC East because it's so weak, but they're not a great team either way. Odds are they're going to be a top 10 pick, but if you want the number one quarterback, you're going to have at least two number ones. If Carson Wentz can stay healthy, maybe you'll get three number ones. So you're going to need those, yeah, right? Insert your joke there. You're going to need those picks to move up and get the guy you want. So I think this whole season for Philadelphia, I don't think it matters. I don't think wins and losses matter. It's all about Hurts. Is he your franchise quarterback?
He might be, he might not be, but I'll tell you this. I'm selling his prop total, 37.50 in 2021. When we come back, we'll talk New England and Washington, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down all the NFL preseason action, we talked about Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Going to look at the Washington football team and the New England Patriots. Patriots step up, George, with a 22-13 win last night. a lot of people are happy about that. They got the rushing attack going with the freshman rookie running back out of Oklahoma, Ramondre Stevenson, rushed for over 100 yards, the bruising back. I said it yesterday, keep an eye out for him. He is a LeGarrette Blount type of player. If you want a physical player that runs between the tackles, wears down defenders, keep an eye out for Stevenson throughout the preseason, but more importantly, the regular season as well for this Pats offense. But the one glaring, I want to say, weakness still stood out for me. They ran the football consistently. They gutted out a victory, but they need major help at the wide receiver position. With Mac Jones or Cam Newton, it doesn't matter. They have a significant disadvantage with speed on the perimeter, and this team is not going to make the playoffs or get over their total this year unless they get some speed and wide receiver help in 2021.
Yeah, what's going on with you? It's weird with Bill, because other than Randy Moss, and like I said, Edelman, Wes Welker, and those guys are more slot guys than anything else, they're just not big believers at the wide receiver position. I guess he doesn't want to pay for it. That's he believes the money should be their tight ends. You take everyone that you could off the free agency list. You have to draft a couple, you know. So it's weird. Nelson Agholor is a decent number two, and then after that, you don't have anybody. Right, N'Keal Harry was a bust. Kendrick Bourne, Myers, yay. There's just nobody here.
And they're all number twos, George. They're all number twos.
That's being nice. That's being kind. I don't know.
J.J. Taylor. Here's the thing. J.J. Taylor is a running back out of Arizona. He's about 5'6". Okay, he's that Deion Lewis type of player. He had 5 receptions last night for 31 yards. I mean, Wilkerson stepped up with 6 receptions. But who is the lethal big deep threat that you say, wow, we really have to account or double team him when we play the New England Patriots? Now, Hunter Henry's hurt for a majority of the preseason going into the regular season. Janu Smith is there. But, again, defenses are going to stack the box against Josh McDaniels in that offense and say, okay, Cam, okay, Mac, beat us over the top. Who are they going to do it with if they don't trade or try to develop some of these young wide receivers?
Agreed. They don't have anyone to stretch the defense, right? Those safeties are creeping closer. There are going to be 8-man boxes there. They got guys making sure that Cam's not going to run, not going to do the run pass options, the RPOs. And it's not fair to Mac Jones either, because you don't have the weapons to really see what he can be, which is another reason why Cam's going to start for a while. In my mind, until he bombs, Cam will start here. I don't like to make it for this team. I think they're the under. I don't think they're going to compete for a playoff spot. I do think the defense will be better.
I agree.
To keep them in games.
I agree. Right. No, they
it's
will be
not,
better. That's
not enough.
Well, they will be better. Here's the thing. On FanDuel, set them at 9. Now, it's heavily juiced to the over, minus 140. If you like the under, you can go minus 120. I might go the under because I look at the New England Patriots and say, okay, how do you gauge them against the Buffalo Bills? How do you gauge them against the Miami Dolphins? Well, Miami upgraded the wide receiver position significantly with Jalen Waddle. He is that Tyreek Hill 5-tool type of player. I mean, you have Diggs at Buffalo. You have playmakers. Gabriel Davis stepped up. They have players that could stretch that New England defense over the top. So when you look at the New England offense and gauge them with the two better teams or equal teams, let's just say, with Miami and New England on equal ground, you have to say that those teams and offenses have more speed than the Patriots. So what is going to be the game plan? Are they going to just look to run the football and get into these tight games and then hope that Cam or Mac pulls it out at the end of the year? Because then they're going to be in a lot of trouble. They're going to be in close games down to the wire. They might even struggle with the New York Jets in that regard. And they did last year, right? They struggled with Flacco in that game. I mean, they should have blown out the New York Jets, had to pull that game out in the fourth quarter. So where is Bill directing this team? And again, I think it says even more so that maybe Tom was the driver of that bus and that he was a better evaluator of talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball, than maybe Bill was at this point in his career.
Well, I think what they're going to do is what they want to do is play mistake-free football.
Yeah,
we'll make less mistakes than they'll make. I agree with you. It's pie in the sky, right? Y'all just be praying here. But they're going to say, listen, we're going to play boring offensive football, not make mistakes, not turn the ball over, and as you said, win the game in the fourth quarter. You know, that's a lot to ask. But this is, once again, this team's not going to score 27, 28 points a game, which is what you need today in today's NFL. They're not. They're nowhere near what the Buffalo Bills are. They're not near what Miami is. Miami's ahead of them on probably both sides of the ball here. And as you said, I think the Patriots and Jets, that's a rivalry. Weird things seem to happen. They should have lost that one game to the Jets. It's almost like the Jets threw that game. Flacco's throwing a 90-yard bomb for no reason. It gets picked off at the end of the at the end of the fourth. So just weird things happening here. Like I said, I don't mind going with the tight ends. I sort of get the theory here. It works in McDaniel's offense of a two tight end system. That's when they've been at their best. But neither one of these guys anywhere near Gronk or Hernandez. And you have no wide receivers that anyone's worried about, and even your running game. Now, I agree with you about Stevenson. He's a player to watch. But you're asking a lot from this guy. James White, nice guy that everybody wants, but he's not dynamic. Michelle's a bust. Damian Harris, yay. Everything's yay. It's just, there's nothing here. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm not worried about anything. I'm really not. I mean, if Bill Belichick was defending this team, we all know what Bill likes to do, right? Take away the other team's best weapon. What the hell do you take away here? Really, what are you worried about here? Seriously, what are you worried about?
You would have to take away the running game. That's what you would do. And now, they do have three complimentary backs because Stevenson, I like Michelle, followed his career at Georgia, still don't think he's lived up to expectations, but I think he'll bounce back in a big way this coming season. And Damian Harris, I mean, the star at Alabama, right? He came on and really carried the load in the second half of the season. That's why they were able to win as many games as they did last year. But they're going to force teams to beat them over the top. N'Keal Harry, if that was your go-to, and you took N'Keal Harry in the first round because you needed a deep play threat, well, guess what? You swung and missed, Bill, because he has not lived up to expectations. Jacoby Myers is a possession type of wide receiver. Every throw for Cam or Mac Jones is going to be a check down. Short, slants, check downs, short to intermediate routes. You're going to have to methodically work down the field. And if you're trying to beat the Kansas City Patriots where they could score in 2 seconds flat, you're not going to win more than six games in the AFC this year.
The Kansas City Patriots, we got a new team in the NFL. Nice. the Patriots, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I know you brought up yesterday, too, about maybe Brady was the better half of this. And maybe there's some truth.
Offensively. I said what I mean is offensively in terms of recognizing talent, right? Because Brady brought over Gronk. He brought in AB. He was a main reason why those players came in, right? So maybe he understands the offensive philosophy more and better than Bill does at this point in his career. Maybe he's just getting old.
I think Brady, when he was at New England, was also able to make players better because he was Tom Brady. You know, you put the ball where it needed to be. You can make players be better than they actually were here. I don't know if Edelman or Welker are ever that kind of player on another team. You know, Welker didn't do all that well with Miami when he was there. Maybe they gave up on him too quick, whatever it might be. And he doesn't have that. Bill doesn't have that now with these quarterbacks. Cam is, you know, Cam would be interesting than Bill if he was, you know, back when he was Superman with Carolina. He's not that player anymore. You know, which is why they drafted the quarterback in Mac Jones. So I think Mac Jones has to play. You know, I think for all young quarterbacks, I think they need to play sooner rather than later, as soon as they prove that they're not going to, you know, get overwhelmed. But there's nothing here for him. I think he could have a terrible year. We won't know anything more about him because he has no weapons around him. Really, there's nothing around him here. I don't think New England's going to implode and be a 3-14 team, but I do think they're an under, a big under.
I think they're a 6-11 team right here, right now. I don't see this team making the playoffs, and if you want to take my side in terms of this team making the playoffs on FanDuel right now for the Patriots, you're going to get it, baby. Because not making the playoffs is minus 140. Juice to the under, yes, is plus 126. If you believe in Bill and Josh McDaniels, then they're going to give you a positive money. I just don't see it right now. They're not closing the gap on the Miami Dolphins from an offensive perspective, and they're certainly not closing it on the Buffalo Bills. I just don't see this team building consistency. They are a train wreck right here, right now. Now, that could change in the month of September. They open up with Miami. We'll get a good understanding about how the offense looks then. What about Washington? Washington, Steven Montez, the former quarterback, stepped up from Colorado. He looked pretty good last night. You know, if he's going to be in the mix with Heinicke and Fitzpatrick, don't count out Steven Montez. Any thoughts about Washington, how they look? Defense looks solid. Running game look good. I think this team is trending in the right direction, at least early on in the preseason.
Oh, listen, I think Washington's got one of the best defenses in football. I do. So I'm not worried about the defense. I mean, they look great. They're going to get after your quarterback. They're going to be a problem. Yeah, it's the first thing you got to look at when you're you know, when you're the offensive coordinator for the opposing team. How am I going to stop Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, and Montez Sweat? How am I going to stop them? You know, give my quarterback 4 seconds or three, 2 seconds to really throw the football. You know, you better have a strong running game to keep these guys honest. Be better, because if not, they're going to have a field day here. Now, like I said,
I'll tell you this. I think they win the division, George. I think they. I know it's very difficult in the NFC East to win back-to-back. It's been more of a pick a, you know, coin flip in terms of who wins. But they're plus 156 to make the playoffs on FanDuel right now, minus 190 to the under. Right here, right now, just what we know from a defensive perspective, I'm buying into Washington and Ron Rivera. Would you, in terms of this team being the playoffs, being in the playoffs in 2021?
Not going to win a division. That's what history tells us. Hasn't been done in, what, 17 years? Yeah. Someone go back-to-back?
You're laying up like Tin Cup. You're laying
up
like
Tin Cup. How about them Cowboys?
When we come back, we'll be breaking down the NFL preseason action tonight. Joe Lisi and George.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Kicking around the NFL preseason action. We talked about the games last night. Going to turn our attention to the weekend games. They start right here tonight. Three big ones. You have Tennessee on the road to face Atlanta. Atlanta, 1.5-point favorite at minus 110. The Buffalo Bills on the road to face the Detroit Lions. Bills catching 1.5. The starters will not suit up. Josh Allen, nobody's playing in that ballgame. They're resting them for week one, September 12th. But Lions are a 1.5-point favorite at minus 110. And then your Dallas Cowboys on the road to face the Arizona Cardinals. Mike McCarthy and the crew catching 2 points at minus 110 on the road. Can this team step up and actually show that they care about playing football, George? I mean, when you look at these games, I mean it's gonna be tough to break these games down. I do like an over. I want to get your thoughts on Dallas, but I'm gonna throw it out there. I like the over in Buffalo Detroit 36.5 tonight at minus 110.
I think it's tough to because man, we all know in Buffalo Allen's not playing. All right, so who's going to play? How long they're going to be in there? It doesn't matter.
Trubisky, baby.
Trubisky, that's good. That probably is good enough for me. But how long are we going to see guys, you know, the other stars? Single there, starting running back, starting wide receivers. They really don't have anybody at tight end I'm worried about. So, but the under, it is low. I mean, you're not asking for much. God, it's actually a 20.
It's higher compared to the other ones. I mean, 38 for Tennessee and Atlanta, right? 38, minus 110 either way. Buffalo's 36.5. Right, minus 110. And then you have Dallas and Arizona, 38 and a hook. Now, it's minus 105 to the over in Dallas. So we're taking the lowest total on the board. And two teams that realistically like to run the football in terms of McDermott has that offensive philosophy. And we know Dan Campbell, he's cracking kneecaps. And he's got 14 running backs on the roster here.
He's chewing ankles. He's a fun. You watch him in press conference. He's a fun guy. He told us about what he used to clean out chickens. He could do it blindfolded or blind. And he could do it, but he'll never do it again. Then he was when they asked him to work the takeout count, that was too short for him. So he got like bent down. I was like, it was funny, entertaining guy. No idea if he can coach a football team. No idea if it matters. This team's gonna be bad, bad, bad. So I kind of lean with you to the over, but like I said, I don't think there's any way of really breaking it. I think we're doing educating guesses. You have to really go to the reporters for the team on Twitter or whatever you want to search for, and they'll tell you little tidbits. This guy's going to play this long. This guy's not going to play. That's what I look for, you know. And I sort of break it down. Which team's going to have more stars than the other team? You know, star starters. You know, how long is the quarterback going to play? You know, is Trubisky only going to play a half a quarter, something like that? You know, is he going to get seven? You know, Jalen Hurts only played seven, through seven passes, and Flacco got 17. Are we going to get something like that tonight where Davis Webb is going to handle most of the game here? Or is Trubisky, because he's new to the offense, is he going to get a half? You know, so I'm interested in stuff like that. That would certainly sway my decision tonight, but I do lean towards the over.
Yeah, I look at it a different way. I have Dan Campbell, right, that wants to instill a philosophy. He's got talent that he needs to evaluate on every level. I mean, this roster was decimated. They are one of the Detroit. Detroit's one of the worst rosters heading into 2021, right? I mean,
in terms of what talent? It's a joke. Ha ha. Right over your head is never coming back.
But I'm saying so his philosophy early on is open it up. See what you have here. I mean, you have to develop a backup quarterback as well outside of Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff, if the offensive line is solid like we believe with Penei Sewell in terms of that draft pick this year, he solidifies the offensive line. You had Ragnow there. I mean, they still need to develop the second and third stringers to a point where you have to understand the talent you have around you. And if Jared Goff goes down, this team is not going to win one game in 2021. That's the bigger thing for me. So why not open it up and try to score, or at least try to stress defenses with the talent that you do have? That's why I like the over. The other teams, like, it's interesting because we talked about Dallas Cowboys and we talked about Mike McCarthy in terms of prior to last week, I believe his preseason record was like 7-18. Well, it should matter to you. You can't just walk through the motions when you're on a new organization. Even if you had Aaron Rodgers there, what about developing backups? What about developing a game plan to make those younger players understand what winning is all about? You're telling me that the preseason doesn't matter. Well, it does if you're trying to build a winner that's going to go to the Super Bowl.
For most coaches, you're securing your job. The preseason is about getting ready for the season. All right, developing players more for a practice thing than the game. You want to keep your players healthy. All right, you're not going to keep your starting players in there to develop a backup. You're just not. Your starting offensive lineman is not in there to get Gilbert better for the Cowboys. It's not going to happen. You know, because they want to make sure those guys are healthy for the regular season for Dak. They're not worried about it. They don't worry about winning games here. There are some coaches who really, truly don't give up, anything about preseason, and some coaches do. We know Harbaugh in Baltimore. You bet on Baltimore. He wants to win. All right, he seems to always win preseason games. So that's a different philosophy there. That's why it's very difficult to judge these games because some of these coaches don't care. I think they're even tuned out half the time. With something in the second half, these guys, no chance of making the team here. I don't care anymore. You know, I think that happens all the time here. They're already worried about what's going to happen to the guys who are going to make the team. So it's tough in the preseason. I might agree with you that overall it would make sense to develop the backups to get that, but they're worried about their starters. They're worried about their starters. That's how they're going to win.
I completely understand about the starters. I'm not saying risk your first team against, the second team and third teamers just to win a ball game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you have a backup quarterback, and we'll use Dwayne Haskins as that example. If you know he's raw, you know he's inconsistent, and you have an aging quarterback, or you have a quarterback in your team that you're not sure is the guy, or you're one injury away from that team falling off a cliff, you need to develop the backup. And I don't mean developing the backup by taking snaps and handing the football off. I'm talking about why not take the backup, put him in there, and let him throw 50 passes in terms of a game-type situation. What's the downside to that? Okay, you get players hurt. I understand, but you also need to develop players where, if it happens in the regular season, that second and third teamer better be game-ready as opposed to practice-ready. And that's the difference, I think, in terms of how these coaches approach it in terms of the preseason. I don't care about the wins or losses. I wouldn't care so much about the wins or losses, but it's the offensive philosophy. How many times do we see these teams come in, hand off? I mean, what are you really doing? You have wide receivers that need to develop, run routes, quarterbacks that don't understand how to read coverage, and yet you're handing the ball off 15 times a game. How does that develop your backup or help your team win a division in November or December if the starter goes down?
Because they don't view these games as, a place to get the backups ready. That's what practice is for. That's where the reps
practice
are coming in.
Practice doesn't do it, though.
Some of these coaches view these games as just a necessary evil. They don't even want to be there.
Well, that's why some coaches win and others don't. I mean, that's the problem, George. These guys are collecting such a big paycheck to walk through the motions, and they're, like, regurgitated throughout the league. I mean, Mike Sherman was in the league for God knows how long. I mean, couldn't cut it in Green Bay. He's on Miami staff. He's on 15 staffs as a coordinator because they want to give him a paycheck. I mean, that's the problem with some of these guys just walking through the motions and why some teams step up and others don't. And you mentioned Jim Harbaugh, right? We'll get right into it. They're -2.5 Saturday night over the New Orleans Saints. I like them, -2.5. They're -105 on FanDuel. What do you think about that game?
Of course we like him. He wants to win. He's one of a few coaches. I'm not saying Sean Payton doesn't, but he wants to win, and he does win. You know, whatever it is, he's game plan. Maybe he's game planning it specifically. Who knows? But he wants to win, so sure, I'll bet on him blindly. He's the one guy who I wouldn't care who he's playing. I would bet on him blindly because I think out of 3 preseason games, he's going to win 2 of them. You know, at least that's what the numbers tell us he's going to do. He takes these things more seriously, probably because he believes in what you're talking about, to set up a mentality. You know, the winning mentality. We win here. I don't care if it's, preseason, Parcheesi, Monopoly, we win. So I think it's what he's going for here. So, yes, Baltimore is the one team I would bet on blindly in the preseason.
Okay, I want to look at one game and get your thought about a potential total. There's a big game later this week in terms of Carolina and Indianapolis. We know the situation with Carolina and Indianapolis right now, right, in terms of where Indianapolis is and Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson coming back. Supposedly, it's going to be week one. If you're Frank Reich, are you not taking that into account, meaning like, yes, it sounds good on paper if they can come back week one, but I really need to develop what I have here because I really don't know what Jacob Eason is at this point. Sam Ehlinger, he's basically a rookie that came from Texas, has some upside, but he's not an NFL starter. Do you work those backups in that game against Carolina?
Well, I think there's two schools of thought here. I think you have to work them because you don't even know Carson Wentz is the guy, all right? So maybe you got to work these guys for next season anyway. You don't know when they're going to come back. It does seem like it's going to be earlier than we thought, week one, week two, week three, whatever it might be. It's not going to be October, all right? So with that being said, you got to work them. You have to work them. But I wonder about this with Indianapolis. Are they a little shell-shocked right now? Lost Wentz, lost Quentin Nelson. I don't want to lose anybody else. You know, that sort of thing. So they're going to play it safe now so they don't have more injuries. So that's a tough that's tough going there, you know, about what's more important for the team here, to stay healthy or you got to develop Ehlinger and or Eason. I probably lean towards more because Eason's the young quarterback anyway. You draft him and Ehlinger's come out, you know, sort of come out of nowhere. We didn't expect this. I think you have to try and develop these guys. I'm not throwing 50 passes, mind you, because I'm not putting everybody else at risk. So I'm going to try and play the happy medium somewhere, but I think you have to try and develop these guys. So I lean more towards your thinking here, but not to your extreme.
Okay, I'm taking Carolina tonight plus the 1.5 at -110. Not tonight, over the weekend, plus 1.5, -110 on FanDuel. Also like them on the money line in terms of +100. So we'll see how that game plays out. What about this intriguing battle over the weekend? Denver and Minnesota. We have a quarterback battle between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, right? They're favorite on the road in Minnesota to face a hot Minnesota Vikings team, a team that I picked to go to the Super Bowl this year. If you're Vic Fangio and the crew, you need to win now immediately. I don't care if it's game one of the preseason. You're like Denver on the road against Minnesota this weekend. They're -115 on FanDuel.
I wouldn't during the regular season, that's for sure. I think Minnesota's a much better team. I don't think it just depends on how long these guys are going to play. But I think either way, we know we're going to get two good quarterbacks from Denver playing most of the game. That's not really the case. You're going to get two average quarterbacks playing most games. Anyway, it should be better than what Minnesota throws out there as far as they're going to want to protect their players. I don't think Cousins plays long, certainly not more than a quarter. So give me Denver in the game. I'm with you here. I do like Denver, but it's mainly because they'll have better quarterback play for longer in the game.
You think they'll keep a longer quarterback play? We'll see. We'll see. It's interesting there because they have Kellen Mond from Minnesota, the former Texas A&M quarterback. He stepped up last year, led the team to a 9-1 overall record. He was taken in the third round by the Minnesota Vikings. I think he topped out, though. We'll see how he plays over the weekend for Minnesota. Still think Minnesota and Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins are the team to beat in the NFC to challenge the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. So keep an eye out for that. When we come back, we'll be talking about those week one lines. Give George a curveball. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we just talked about the preseason lines. In the last segment of the show, we always talk about the week one lines for the upcoming NFL season. Some minor line movement right now on FanDuel. Buying into the Tampa Bay Bucs playing your Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Bucs are a 7-point favorite, minus 110 either way. Line to open up at 6.5. A minor shift to the Tampa Bay Bucs. I got to tell you, early on, I still like Dallas in that matchup. I know it's going to be difficult, but give me the Cowboys in that battle. Week number one, George. The other line movement has been Minnesota. They opened up as a 3.5-point road favorite over Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. We know about Joe Burrow coming off the ACL. Ja'Marr Chase has come out and said that he looks a little ginger. Well, now Minnesota's a 4-point favorite on the road against the Bengals, minus 110 either way. Any thoughts about both of those games?
Well, when it comes to the Cowboys, I like the over in the end. I think there'll be points scored there. But I'm going to like the Bucs. I mean, that's probably going to be Dak's first, he's not going to play in the preseason. I don't think he is. Dak wants to, but I don't think he's going to play. So his first game action, Thursday night, coming up to the Super Bowl, I think Tampa takes care of business there, but I think there'll be points scored. I kind of feel like a 34-24 game, somewhere around there. I think that's what I'm seeing there. As for the other game, which now I can't remember that you talked about.
Minnesota and Cincinnati.
Minnesota and Cincinnati.
The Bengals. You think that Joe Burrow is going to be good week one?
That's yeah, I do. I think he'll get over the mental hurdle. All right, even he admits he has it right now, so I think he'll get over it. I think Minnesota's the better team. Cincinnati's going to be a lot like the Atlanta Falcons, a mediocre team, that could score points but can't stop anybody. They better hope that running game is legit to try and keep that defense off the field, and that's asking a lot because they don't have the offensive line to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to throw two best bets out for the preseason games while we're here. I'm going to go over Bills and Detroit, and then I'm going to do it, George. I'm going to pull the trigger, even though it's against me. I'm taking Carolina +1.5 and +100 on the money line against the Colts. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.